Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go. Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS News.
When we see autocratic regimes seek to silence dissidents and perceived enemies, we are shocked, but we shouldn't be surprised. When hackers exploit known vulnerabilities to compromise, we are shocked, but we certainly shouldn't be surprised. When anti-Semitism grows after being tolerated and normalised, we are shocked, but we should not be surprised.
ASIO Director General Mike Burgess made that pronouncement at his annual address, part of the agency's assessment of the current terror threat. The address revealed ASIO has foiled 14 terror plots since the December mass shooting in Bondi. The boss of the National Spy Agency says the nation's current threat level is probable. That means there's a greater than 50% chance of an onshore attack or an attack being planned in the next 12 months. But he says even that doesn't tell the full story.
Next level on the scale is expected, which applies when we have intelligence about a specific attack. We do not. But we do know the environment is degrading and acts of politically motivated violence are becoming more likely than probable suggests.
The security environment he's referring to includes the threat of online radicalisation of Australians into extremist ideology and interference by foreign entities. ASIO has identified two people with strong links to Australia who allegedly directed attacks on Jewish targets on behalf of Iran. Mike Burgess says an Australian citizen, now based in Iran, orchestrated the 2024 firebombing of a business in Bondi, and a former Australian resident living in Iraq was behind an attack on Melbourne's Adas Israel synagogue. He says both were linked to Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps. ASIO knows who they are, but can't name them because investigations are ongoing. Intelligent Risk's CEO Neil Fergus, who's an expert on international security and terrorism, told Channel 9's Today Show the attacks follow similar incidents overseas.
If there was a trend, it would be that they're using proxies or criminals to carry out arson attacks against the Jewish Ambulance Service in Golders Green, against the Bank of America in Paris. There's no mass casualty attacks, thank God, involved in that.
Yeah.
But I think Burgess is correct to say we've got to be absolutely on our guard at the moment.
With ASIO warning, acts of politically motivated violence are becoming more likely. Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke has told ABC Radio there is currently a review of the decade-old terror threat warning system.
There is a review that's happening on that, that's right. And different countries, particularly our Five Eyes partners, everyone does it a slightly different way, and we're looking at that. The thing that matters is making sure that the Australian people, but also all the law enforcement agencies, get the best possible information.
Liberal Senator Jonathan Dunham says if the system is not working, changes should be a priority.
All of these things, combined with all of the events that have occurred over the last 12 months, including, of course, Bondi, are extreme concerns for us as a country. If the legal regimes need revisiting, if the framework around how we deal with terror-related matters need revisiting, then let's do that as a matter of urgency.
Meanwhile, as ASIO issued its terror threat guidance, the partner of a member of the so-called Islamic State group, a designated terrorist network, was granted re-entry to Australia. The woman, who's been living in Syria, was previously the subject of a temporary exclusion order, which was lifted to allow her passage home. Minister Burke has told ABC Radio the woman will be subject to very high levels of surveillance on her return.
But we received the final advice yesterday that we can no longer have an exclusion condition any longer for her. We've checked with our agencies. They are ready. So that permit gets issued. What it then means is the conditions that do apply to her everything that is possible. So, for example, she will have to report and we will have to know where she lives, where she works, where she studies.
National Party leader Matt Canavan says the federal government has not stood on the side of safety and security of the nation.
We feel the government should have done more to keep people like this who have associated with terrorist organisations, the world's worst terrorist organisations in the world. They should have been kept out of our country.
Security threats from beyond Australian soil were also the subject of an Australian Strategic Policy Institute conference today on securing the region for uncertainty. Professor Peter Dean from the Strategic and Defence Studies Centre at the Australian National University echoed ASIO's call for preparedness, but in the face of a regional security threat. He says the key is in self-reliance as a nation, referencing the 2026 National Defence Strategy, which calls for Australia to move away from reliance on the United States for intelligence and logistics.
That is dead. So what is self-reliance in the face of a major war potential against a major power threat to look like? And as the NDS tells us, it's starting to look like more industrial self-reliance. Yeah. It's starting to look like more national resilience and social cohesion. It's starting to look like civil preparedness. It's starting to look like all of these things.
As experts called for increased national self-reliance, Defence Minister Richard Marles weighed in on the future of AUKUS, a trilateral defence agreement between the US, UK and Australia that was signed in 2021. Mr. Marles says he accepts criticism around the deal's practicality and future, including from former Prime Ministers and the first head of the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. But he says the deal is crucial for Australian security.
In regards to all three countries, we have now seen changes of government in terms of political persuasion in all three, whilst the commitment to AUKUS has been maintained in all three.
According to a poll by the Lowy Institute, there's public support for the deal too. The survey released this week found for the first time in history, the majority of Australians feel unsafe. But researchers, including Charles Lyons-Jones, say that almost three-quarters of respondents support Australia's alliance with the US, despite falling confidence in President Donald Trump's administration to act responsibly.
And what that shows is that Australians remain pragmatic about the global environment we face and understand that world events impact here at home.
Camille Bianchi, SBS News.
Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.